Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. None of us are exempt from trouble in this life. Job 14 verse 1 says, Man that is born of woman is a few days and is full of trouble. Now this is commonplace to the human family. And often trouble breaks the heart because of its intensity and its magnitude. There are no doors, no bars, no bolts, no locks that can forever keep out trouble in life. It comes to the rich, to the poor, to the high and the low, the young and the old, anyone, everyone, sooner or later. And like death, it is no respecter of persons. We have our own troubles and we see others as they wrestle with their troubles. Now, we don't want to leave the impression that life is only trouble, because that's far from the truth. But it is trouble that causes grief to the heart that we're studying in this lesson. Much sorrow and trouble goes unseen by men because it is known only to God, and the one, of course, with a troubled heart. Most of us are blessed in so many ways that we're not always aware of the serious problems in life that others have to face and have to bear. We're often shocked to learn the burdens that others have that we probably have never experienced, and did not even know that they were experiencing. It's not uncommon that people cover their troubles under a facade of pretending that all is well, when such is really not the case. An uncomplaining disposition and a cheerful countenance often hides a multitude of grief. Who knows what pain is attempting to break forth, but it is suppressed with a patient and godly attitude of endurance. But we are aware that this world is a place of trouble. What are some of the major causes of a troubled heart? Is it not such things as the death of a loved one? Is it not a crucial obstacle in life? Even the disciples of Jesus were made sorry when they learned that Jesus would die. And you recall the sorrow of the Lord himself when Lazarus died, and he saw the mourning of others whom he loved. Most have experienced this kind of trouble in the passing from life of someone who was near and dear to them, and how the heart aches because of this tragic occurrence. It is real trouble to be misunderstood by others, or to have your motives and your actions misread and impugned. Often trouble arises because we misunderstand others. Both we and they are hurt. It is valuable when we can secure a good understanding and a meeting of the minds with others. But many problems have been created and feelings hurt and friendships harmed or maybe even destroyed over such things as that. What is more shattering than to learn of the lack of trustworthiness in someone or someone in whom you have placed your trust? And some have suffered the unfaithfulness of a mate or a friend, or some associate on whom they have looked with confidence. Judas, who was one of the 12, betrayed the trust Jesus had in him. And having your faith broken after you have depended so confidently is disturbing to the mind and it is distressing to the heart. It even extends beyond that which has proven itself untrustworthy. It can even cause you to be suspicious of other things and other people wherein you have placed trust. A dark and dismal cloud overshadows all of life when this tragedy becomes a reality. And many go through life burdened with insecurity. You know, insecurity causes personal pain, but even more than that, it can often provoke worse things as one seeks to rid himself of insecurity. And many who have been materially insecure have turned to robbery. Others, being personally insecure about themselves, have resorted to immorality or drunkenness or drugs or other sinful conduct. The dread and the fear of the future, when nothing seems anchored, when all around you seems to be uprooted and overturned, it can cause unhappiness. It can cause trouble in the weary heart. Oh, we could continue to mention such things as sickness, losses of various kinds, but surely the point is sufficiently made that trouble exists, and it strikes all around us, even upon you and upon me at times. But nothing causes more trouble to the sincere heart than the guilt of sin. We grieve over our sins and the sins of others because sin is that which alienates man from God. Think of the grief of Peter after he had denied Christ and the Lord looked upon him. Think of the sorrow in the heart of the prodigal son when he was still in the foreign country and still in the swine pits. Can one adequately describe the torture of a guilty conscience? Have you ever known the trial of seeing your own flesh and blood renounce God's truth and pursue error? Do we not read of violators of the civil law who rejoice once they are finally caught, having borne the burden of guilt and the pain of conscience for so long? Yes, friend, sin brings trouble, especially to those who are aware of right and wrong. But at least such people show a spark of sensitivity toward sin, while many can sin with impunity and go their way as if nothing has been done. Well, they will live deceived, and they will die damned. Is there no comfort for the troubled heart? The answer is yes, there is. God is the God of comfort, 2 Corinthians 1 and verse 3. The Holy Spirit was identified as the Comforter, John 14, 6. Jesus taught, "Let not your heart be troubled," John 14, 1. Deity offers the troubled heart of man the relief and the consolation that is needed and for which man yearns. Our Savior, having been tempted in all points like we are, speaks words of comfort founded on his deity as well as his experience as a human being. He fully understands us. He can sympathize to the utmost with mankind as he struggles with those things that would bend and even break him in life. And is it not comforting in itself to hear word from others in times of our distress, "I know how you feel"? Especially are we comforted when we know that the one who speaks has also endured similar trials that we're undergoing. And herein is the perfection of our high priest and advocate, Jesus Christ. While we seek to comfort one another the best we know how, Christ can comfort with knowledge and completeness that none other can offer. Let us consider John the 14th chapter for some instruction in this area of thought. Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me." Dear listening friend, a life built on faith in Christ is one that can find serenity and tranquility in the midst of the storms of life. One can recognize the temporary nature of life, even the passing of trouble, eventually. It all gives way to the power of that which is higher and better. And in verse 2 of John 14, "In my Father's house are many mansions, and if it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." Because of such words we have hope, and our hope is called an anchor to the soul. Hebrews 6 and verse 19. We can be assured that deity will keep his word to us. There is that day before us when the Lord Jesus shall come for us. Meanwhile, we bask in the warmth of his promise that sustains us even under fire from trouble. Jesus said, "Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted." And while this blessedness speaks more directly of those who mourn over sin, the fact of comfort to the mourning is stated. Jesus went on to say in John 14, "And whither I go, and the way ye know." Thomas saith unto him, "Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way?" Jesus saith unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Friend, we can be comforted with the wisdom and knowledge of Christ, who is the way. The doubt of Thomas concerning the future and the way to go was resolved with the certainty of Jesus and his instruction. When one will heed the statements of our Lord and will follow them, this knowledge brings confidence and contentment. It is a salve to the weary and a source of relief to the chafing so common in life. And when we pass from verses 13 and 14, "Whatsoever ye ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it." Now this was spoken to his apostles, and dealt directly with their apostolic office. But the promise deity gives is that attention will be given to the expressions of humanity. This in itself is absolutely amazing. Do we not have a similar assurance that God will hear and answer our prayer if we be faithful children of His? Will not God keep His word and do what is best for us? Does not the knowledge that we can capture the attention of God and focus it upon ourselves, even our problems, does that not provide us strength to encounter whatever we're called upon to meet? There is grace to help us in our time of need, for our friend above is a friend indeed. We may cast on Him every grief and care. There's always a blessing in prayer. When our songs are glad with the joys of life, when our hearts are sad with its ills and strife, when the powers of sin would the world ensnare, there's always a blessing in prayer. We have experienced the relief received when we talk with someone who cares and wants to help. It is that way in much more when we approach the throne on high and seek comfort from Him. Friend, God hears. God cares. God answers. Jesus said to His apostles, "I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you." Now again, this was to His apostles regarding His promise of the Holy Spirit coming upon them. But we're also promised that the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit will dwell with us. We make a serious mistake to conclude that we have the presence of deity, however, in the same measure as did the apostles. We would be neglectful not to mention the comfort in trouble from the knowledge that we are loved. It means so much to any person to know that others love him or her. How much more does it calm the troubled spirit to know that God loves us? "He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him." Will you please notice the condition of being a beneficiary of God's love? We must keep His commandments. To refuse to obey is to declare a lack of love. And earlier Jesus had taught in John 14:15, "If ye love me, keep my commandments." I think we could extend the list of sources of comfort to include God's providence and God's protection and God's guidance through His word, and many other blessings. For one other, I want to include what is found in 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13. It may well be one of the most comforting assurances given to the Christian that we read in all of God's revelation. "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape, that ye may be able to bear it." Now what this is telling us is simply this: there is nothing that shall happen this day that God and I together cannot handle. Now that's far easier to say than to practice. But we're confident it is true whether we live according to it or not. And God help us to live according to what He called us to do. When God has promised, we can overcome what trouble may envelop us. And what we cannot overcome, we can successfully endure. Yes, having trouble is commonplace, but having comfort is God's grace. Will you come to Christ and face life by His side? Render obedience to the gospel and know the comfort that God offers to all. This has been A Burning Fire, and your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.